Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick.
Present.
That's him. Chase McAbabe.
What up, Nashville?
See, you notice I made him scramble. Made him work for that one. Max Herz behind the glass.
Hey, guys.
You enjoyed that too, didn't you? I've made the big boy.
No, Chase can scoot. Chase can scoot. He's all over the place here.
To sneak out of here and go grab something. I was like, okay, we'll make him work to get back to the mic.
Listen, radio is a lot easier to do when you have headphones.
It is. I've learned that a long time ago.
And we're sitting here talking before the show, and I'm just like, I don't have my headphones. I should probably go get those.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Everybody have a good weekend?
Sure did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you do outside of hockey? Kids activities?
What did I do outside of hockey?
Did you have kids stuff?
A little light on the kids stuff this week, so kind of a break.
Yeah, same for me.
No fall baseball this weekend, which gave us more time to roam.
That's good.
Watched a lot of football.
It's kind of weird, though, right?
It is when weird. You wake up and you're like, where do we got to go?
Wait,
oh, we don't have to go anywhere.
We got nothing? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I had a great weekend because it was a whole lot of nothing. Besides,
hey, those are good weekends. Man.
I watched some really.
There's not too many more of those coming.
I was gonna say you can enjoy that now, pre-kid. But when you you know, you ever get to that point, those weekends will go bye-bye. Those free weekends.
Well, we've discussed this before that I feel like I'm on the Darren McFarland life track.
Yeah.
So
it's about right.
I have a few years before I have.
You're
kids.
You're actually getting close to that. Serious relationship time frame?
Yeah.
That window?
See. I'm 32. I got what? Maybe two more years? When did you meet Lauren?
You have four more years.
I have four more years. Oh, here we go.
Four more years.
Had to think about it.
That's right.
Well, Kentucky, Max. Everybody went to Vanderbilt, okay? If you go to Kentucky, you get 1.2 more seconds to think.
Did you guys see my stat of the weekend on Twitter from Vandy football? Second highest scoring game total points in program history this weekend with 104, 66, 38 lost to LSU. The highest total.
Okay, hold on. Give us a top. Just give us a year.
1912.
I knew. I was going to say. I bet it was 100 years ago.
105-0 win over Bethel in the 1912 season opener.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I was going to say it was probably 100 years ago.
Coach Dan McGugin had the boys going.
Yeah. That's why you get a building named after you.
They had some good teams.
When you win by 100,
let's be honest.
You get a building named after you.
They could play some football back
then. Or 150 or whatever you said.
First two games of that season, 105-0 win over Bethel, 100-3 win over Maryville. Those are now the first and third highest scoring total point games in Vanderbilt football history.
It crushed Maryville's program so much they decided to go to high school. They're like, you know what? This college stuff is too much. We're just going to become a high school.
Yeah, I really would like to see the scoring summary from that game. Like, when did Maryville get the field goal? Was it early in the game?
Did they just want points late?
Or was it late? Like, we got to avoid the shutout. We got to get the
Dan
field
McGugin
goal.
Dan McGugin iced the kicker up 100-0.
What if the line was 99.5? Maybe they were trying to get a little backdoor cover?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's like Miami of Ohio, they took the lead on Ohio State on Saturday with an early safety. It was 2-0.
Mm-hmm. And that was it.
And the final score was? Something like 71-5 or something. 71-5. Yeah. Dude, Max, were you the one that said the quote from the Miami, Ohio coach during the week?
Yes.
About the draft?
Yeah.
That was Mitch.
Oh, that's Mitch.
Right. That's right. Okay. Mitch said that the first 68 picks would go
first
to Ohio.
First 85 picks in the draft go to
Ohio recess.
State.
At recess.
That proved to be true.
It played out that way. Sure did.
And just like recess, it was raining, so they had to stop early.
Yesterday.
But basically, in the modern era of football, this was the worst game in Vanderbilt history, right, of giving up points.
Yeah, there was a 70 spot in the early 2000s, I believe, Florida. I got it written down here somewhere.
But I feel like Georgia Tech.
There were a couple of 71s, and maybe I have them on a different sheet of paper. 71 allowed against Florida on November 3rd, 2001. And there was also a 75 spot by Georgia Tech in the 70s.
In the 70s? Okay, because Georgia Tech came in here with the option and rolled up a lot of points.
Was 2001, was that Bobby Johnson? Or was that still...
That was Bobby Johnson.
That was Bobby Johnson.
Early, yeah. Bobby Johnson.
Yep. Still looked like Steve Martin, even early Bobby Johnson.
Because I remember coming off a Woody Ball, they were pretty bad.
Very bad.
But they didn't give up points. They couldn't score, but they didn't give up points.
Well, like early Bobby Johnson, if you remember, they had Jay Cutler.
Yep.
And he was pretty much thrown into the fire as a true freshman.
Yep.
And they had little else. And so it took a long time to even be respectable. And then Jay Cutler's senior year, they were starting to get better. They went 4-0. And then it beat Tennessee to go 5-6.
Lost MTSU.
That was the killer.
I do remember that.
Yep. Yep. Ebb and flow.
I
meant football.
For pick six to say 300 yards passing in the first half for Joe Burrow. That's what I meant, for the game.
It's impressive what that guy did. That guy, it's unbelievable. Their receivers.
You're hearing
can
Heisman
fly.
Talk now.
But, like, I.
Why wouldn't you?
I know. He deserves it.
He doesn't miss a throw. I mean, he is right on the money. It looked like dummy offense. In the first half, the first four possessions, they were perfect. You know, I think he had one incompletion, and you know Vanderbilt obviously has some issues covering people. They've been torched now, and so they've got plenty to work on. But that being said, it's impressive to watch LSU with the speedsters they have, the multiple guys who can catch and then run after the catch. After a while, you sit there and go, "What are we supposed to do?" You know what. We tried backing up. We tried manning up and bump and run, but they slant and they run by everybody. Deep zone, they just run under it and they just ran through people. It's impressive on one hand, and obviously Vanderbilt's got to go back to the drawing board, and they have got to win on Saturday to stabilize things.
We talked about this after the Georgia game because Chase and I were there, and because of the hockey game and the knee, I was like, I'm not doing that and – hockey Saturday night. So I just watched, flipped around the 11. And then there was good 11 o'clock games for a change, right? Well,
a lot of,
at least on paper. On paper.
Well, games of like note. Games of interest to the
area.
There's
the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Games of note that turned out to be games of crap is what they were. Not Games of Thrones. Games of crap is what 11 o'clock ended up being. Even Michigan. But I wonder what's – I'll bring it up again. What's going through Malcolm Turner's head? The first two home games he's seen as the athletics director at Vanderbilt, I don't think that's what an AD wants to see.
Well,
it wasn't like the Georgia scene because LSU didn't bring the entire state like Georgia did. Obviously, it's a lot further away. But, Willie, you got to search long and hard to find very many Vanderbilt fans at these games. I mean, the first two games. They had the opportunity to be in the stands yesterday, and it looked like a smattering over on their side. LSU filled up the other side.
Yeah.
And then you had the band, the Vanderbilt band. And then over on the other side, it looked like, I don't know, I just like.
Not good.
It's not good. Like, what's going through his mind? Like, what are they doing? You got work to do, man.
Yeah.
You got a lot of work to do. Like, what? How do you create an atmosphere? I honestly feel bad for the coaches. I really do. I feel bad for all the coaches over there because, and I know Derek Mason hinted at this last year and said it publicly. It's not like I'm putting words in his mouth. He was frustrated. He's like, yeah, well, Kentucky should be good. Kentucky is putting money into their program. They're trying to have people, they're supporting the football program. We know basketball goes without saying, but they're support. He's basically saying, look around the league. They're getting support, and we're getting what? I got nothing.
Crickets.
I'm on an island by myself, which Tim Corbin we've talked about over the years. Tim Corbin, the reason stuff has happened is because Tim Corbin made it happen. Tim Corbin,
yeah,
the coach, made it happen. He went out and got the money. it's sad. It's like they get no support at all.
Well, I can tell you something they're doing. I showed this to you the other day, but if you go to VUCommodores.com, the first thing that pops up is, we want to hear from you. Vanderbilt Athletics seeking input from university community.
Do they really?
September.
Are they brave enough to read the comments?
It's been posted since September 9th. And they have a video from Malcolm Turner, and it's saying, like, hey, we want input on facilities and everything involved in Vanderbilt Athletics. So they got it on their athletics website that they want to hear from people.
And listen, it's hard to watch your team get shredded by two of the top three or top four programs in the country.
Today they are.
I mean, it's hard to sit there and watch. So I think I'm really curious to watch what happens from here out, because now, honestly, and Derek Mason kind of spun it this way after. Now it's time to go get this is where the season will be won or lost. Anything they got in these first three games was kind of a bonus.
There's a real shot. It's going to be 0-3. Let's just go on and call it like it is.
I was hoping for better against Purdue. I was hoping for a they didn't play very well in that game. But they have gotten through the first three games with no huge injuries. That's something you worry about.
Although Pinckney was...
Everybody's got some injuries.
Limping around. I don't know what's his status.
Hopefully he's all right. I haven't heard anything. I did see him come up lame a little bit there. Mm-hmm. By the way, I have no idea. LSU's got Joe Burrow in the game in the fourth quarter way ahead. And he's taking hits. They're still throwing. They're still swinging around. No.
They got one of their regular wide receivers ejected for the first half of the next game on punt coverage late in the game for targeting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking, but that being said, Vanderbilt could be in a lot worse shape after these three games from an injury standpoint, so there's no more excuses. This is where they have to go to work. So I would hope the fans would have better hope here. Hopefully they haven't lost hope just because you lost to two of the top three teams in the country. But you're right.
I would think, Willie, even in a loss, would you want to go see what the best teams in the country look like? They're at your place. I'd want to at least go see them in person. Like, that's impressive to watch. I get it. It's probably painful. The Georgia game was fine. I mean, they hung around the whole time. I mean, it was...
Hung around. They were down 21-0.
Oh, okay. Quick. But it wasn't... It's not like...
It wasn't like a blowout.
It didn't feel like...
It was a blowout.
Holy...
It was 21-3 or whatever. They scored on the first three possessions.
I'm just telling
touchdowns.
You, the feel there, being there, it didn't feel like a blowout.
It felt like
Georgia was in control.
I thought they competed on Saturday. They were getting outgunned.
33 up?
Is that 38 right? up.
38?
Well, but some of them were, a couple of them were gifts.
Well, okay.
Nice.
Well, the defense scored two touchdowns.
If you want to be a good team, you have to capitalize on gifts, and that's something they haven't been able to do. So
yeah, well... They scored 38, but I thought they played. They didn't quit. Their tackling was bad. I think that was one thing that has got to get better. They're not tackling as well as they're going to need to tackle. But that aside, I do think they didn't just lay down and quit. They kept trying to score. They had some moments of success in there. So I think the makings are there to turn it around. So you can't blame the players. I do. Some of it is on the fans themselves. Like, David Williams said this, and he got some heat for it. He's like, I can't go pick you up and bring you to the stadium. The tickets aren't that expensive. It's pretty easy to get them. It's a nice campus. I know the stadium's not great, but at some point, you got to want to come.
Well, and also, at some point, you have to put money into it and make it nice, make people want to come.
But until then, what are you supposed to do? Just say, I'll come when there's a really nice stadium? I mean, are you a fan or are you not a fan? There's some things that I'm sure Tennessee would like to do to their stadium, or there's always something people are working on to make their stadium better.
Fans have changed, though, Willie.
Then make your stadium about 10,000 fans then. I honestly thought about that watching the Chargers game yesterday. That might need to be the size of stadiums. If you want to fill the stadium and you want to have a really nice stadium with everybody having to pay $100 or $150 for a ticket, is that what you want?
Nashville's got a new place opening 2022 that's going to be just that size.
I think it's going to come up.
Well, I think the fact that they've just been sitting on their hands the whole time, at first we were like, no, 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 and then you realize, well, they don't have any plan whatsoever. Then it's like, well, if that's your only option, then that's a way better option than what you have currently. So, yeah, I guess it should be back in play. Tyron Davenport, we will check in with him at 10:30. He is headed over to the facility. Mike Vrabel will talk at 1 o'clock. The players will be available in about an hour. We'll talk to TD at the bottom of the hour. David Ubben, and we'll talk a little bit about the Vols' performance at noon with him. Usually it's Vince Ferrara, but Vince actually went down to Gainesville, covered the game, and then his family, we know he's from Tampa. He slid over to Tampa, so he's spending some much-needed days off.
We're going to pass each other on Wednesday.
Hanging out with his family, yeah. Yeah, because he's coming back on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep.
You guys will pass on Wednesday. So we'll check in with David Ubben at noon. We got a lot to get to on the program. More coming. Don't forget, This Is What I Know at 11:45. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
He's looking towards the end zone here to Kyle Pitts. And the tight end finds the goal line chalk for a Gator touchdown.
Like we said on paper, it looked like an attractive 11 o'clock start. Michigan at Wisconsin. Tennessee in the swamp against Florida.
Yeah.
LSU here. Just crap. Just nothing but crap. But games that are just lopsided. I mean, how about the Wolverines just getting smacked around by Wisconsin? Not even competitive. What a joke. Tennessee, not competitive against Florida. I think that's what was just so disappointing. I don't think anybody's really shocked by the outcome. If you would have said, hey, Wisconsin's going to beat Michigan, Florida's going to beat Tennessee, and LSU's going to beat Vanderbilt, well, there's no shock value in that, but it's how.
Yeah, it was not
like,
pretty.
You had three games that at, what, how long in? 10 minutes in? You're like, this is not going to, I mean, let's just say each after one quarter, it was like, well, okay, these games are not even going to be interesting.
I'll sum up my Saturday for you for the 11 o'clock games when I get a text message that says, I'm going to tear you up on Thursday, Hoss, talking about my Tennessee pick.
Yeah,
so that,
you deserve it.
And I deserve it.
Started it. I gave it
to you
first.
You did, but look, I'm saying I deserve it. It was a bad pick.
I mean, you get on here. It's great to be a Tennessee ball. I mean, you sang your pick.
I did.
And you just got drubbed.
I did. It was bad.
Tried to sing MTSU's fight song the week before.
I didn't do
got
that.
Got drubbed.
That's not true.
You went there. You know the fight song.
I got a question for you guys.
I do.
Sing it.
No. Go ahead, Willie.
Are you trying to get out of this?
Yeah.
I found myself kind of saying, as I'm watching both Tennessee and Vanderbilt get waxed in different ways, right? How good is Florida? That's a question I have. Florida is ranked ninth, I think. I mean, so you're sitting there going, well, we lost to a top 10 team on the road.
They don't look like it. They don't feel like it. They don't look like it.
But it's hard to know. Like, I think Trask is good.
Well, I've watched them all year. I mean,
Trask is a good story.
I watched them against their first game of the year against Miami, Florida. I watched them against Kentucky, and I think, they're okay.
Right.
Dan Mullen is the reason.
They're winning the games.
It's because of their coach.
I did not know the story at Trask. That's a pretty cool story. He had never started a game since he was a freshman in high school. That is a really odd deal there. But for him to come in and look good, but it's not like Florida played perfect football. They made plenty of mistakes and still won 34-3. I'm bouncing this as we segue from Vanderbilt to Tennessee. Vanderbilt, I see the makings of an offense that can still could do some good things against some ordinary defenses, average to below average defenses, maybe even a decent defense. I mean, they've gone up against LSU and Georgia. Against Purdue, they had a lot of yards, but they flashed. It's flickered. Tennessee's offense has got to be a major concern. Maybe Florida's defense is that good, but Tennessee just really didn't threaten that much, except they had the early deal where they had they should have had a touchdown early. Maybe that sets them off in a different direction, but it looked like a desert, man, after a while. They just didn't look like they were going to score.
88 yards rushing.
How about the quarterback situation?
Well, what's going on with the taking Garantano out? I can see that. And so let's roll with the kid and see what he's got, and then put Garantano back in. That didn't make sense to me.
Well, I mean, I didn't understand that, but, you know, I know a few weeks ago Vanderbilt kind of did the same thing, and I didn't really understand that either. I think Pruitt thought it would be a spark. It didn't spark anything. Maurer, is that how you say his name? Went 4 of 11 and threw a pick. So, I mean, he wasn't doing much better, but they're not getting much help. I mean, that's the problem. They're just – that offense, nobody's on the same page, it seems, and they can't get anything going. And I felt bad for the defense because I thought the defense played all right. And then as the game went on, you know, you could tell they were getting tired and just not getting help from the offensive side of the ball. So things fell off. But you asked about Florida. I think Florida could be in the fraud category. I just don't think they're as good as the record shows.
This is why.
But what does that say about Tennessee? That's the real concern.
It says Tennessee is what we all think they are. They're not very good.
And they don't have the right guy again.
But can you make that assessment? It's so early. This is the hamster on the wheel here.
You tell me, okay, in a season and four games, you tell me through your eyes, does there anything? Does he look like the guy?
I would be concerned.
Outplayed by Georgia State in the first game of the year at home. Got outplayed. Looked like a team that was – got outplayed, was quitting. They showed Florida. Look at listen to their losses. So this is why I'm asking. So last year they went they played Florida at home. They lost 47-21. They kicked off their season, lost 40-14 to West Virginia. Okay, they lost to Georgia 38-12.
Well, they're getting blown out in a lot of the games.
58-21 to Alabama. Okay, I get it. Give me Alabama, Georgia. They're all great teams. Florida had a 10-win season. Okay, I get it. 50-17 to Missouri. 38-13 to Vandy. Get blown out in the swamp. Does that look like a guy that's getting them going in the right direction when your losses are blowouts?
But when you keep resetting and firing the coach and bringing in the new guy, at some point, this is the catch-22, and I saw a lot of articles with this type of theme. Here's the dilemma. If you've made up your mind that he's not the guy, firing him in the second year, that is – you're going to pull the plug this early?
Does it get better? So do you want to – how long do you want to keep doing
this? Well, you have to hope. I mean, this is Phil Fulmer hired this guy.
Okay, but, I mean, yes, and it's a
–
He made
the power play to go get this guy.
I get it. And, look, well, don't forget – no. Let's just say this, okay?
It wasn't his first choice.
This wasn't his second choice. Wasn't his third choice. Wasn't his fourth choice. And, oh, by the way, let's stop with the Mike Leach stuff, because if you watch them against UCLA, please don't ever bring up Mike Leach again and act like he's the savior, okay? Give me a break.
Sometimes you don't get the coach you're looking for. I'm not even bringing this up to go there, because I've made my feelings known on that whole thing. That was a debacle from so many different ways. But you are. This is what you got.
I know, and it looks like it's really bad.
You got to stick with him a little bit,
okay,
though.
For what?
How much money are you going to pay ex-coaches?
Well, I understand.
What are you going to do?
Here's the problem.
I get it.
Is that just a bottomless pit of money?
Who is the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country?
I know.
Jim Chaney.
Jim Chaney.
I said Dave Aranda. He's the highest paid coordinator. But yeah, Jim Chaney.
Does it look like – look at their offense.
Yeah.
That's the highest paid OC in the country. So – I get it, Willie. I understand what you're saying. But at some point, if you keep making when do you pull the plug on your bad hire after bad hire after bad, throwing bad money after bad money? At what point do you say, hey, let's give – I mean, do you want to do – what if it looks like this? You're going to go 4 years? And just slip into
Chaney's
the abyss?
I think Jim Chaney's probably fine. The problem is, and this is what I can't answer.
I got major questions about Jim Chaney.
And I don't
Chaney
think you
right
guys
now
can answer this either. Do they have good players on this team, or is he just? I mean, can he not develop them? I mean,
I
think it's that.
It's very early. They have a lot of freshmen playing. They have a lot. I think that would be the argument of the coaching staff: is I didn't inherit anything. I inherited a mess, and I need time to build the roster. And the expectations probably were too high. But, I mean, there's no way they should have lost the first game. But in hindsight, losing to BYU, based on what we know about Tennessee right now, that's a pretty evenly matched game in terms of talent. How talented is the Tennessee roster? I don't look at that roster and say, wow, They should be way better than this. Where they sold a bill, you know, recruiting classes and all these things. I think it's just a little.
Okay, let me
too
ask you
optimistic
something. If Jeremy Pruitt is at Florida and he's their head coach, what do you think their record is right now? I mean, I'm obviously with asking you to just. We'll never know.
Isn't there a talent difference?
What would their record be? Would they be undefeated? Would they be a top 10 team?
If Jeremy Pruitt had those players down there.
If he was the Florida coach instead of Dan Mullen.
It's a great question.
If you're telling me to answer it, there's no way I'm telling you they're undefeated. There's no way.
I don't think they are.
You just don't like the way he manages the game?
Not at all. I think, honestly, the way I look at Florida is they are in this position because, yeah, they have better talent. But it's because of Dan Mullen. They have a better coach.
But you would admit, though, Florida has better players right now than Tennessee.
They do. But they also have a way better coach.
I think he blows Miami, and I think he blows Kentucky. He doesn't come back and beat Kentucky.
No.
I just don't think he has that makeup.
It's an absolute loss. Absolute loss.
So I say they're 2-2.
Yeah, that's about what I had. They're 2-2.
They don't beat Miami?
They're not ranked. Mm-mm.
You watch how that game played out. I don't trust him
it's
to manage
weird,
that.
It's a weird. It's an August 24th or whatever the date was. That's a weird
early
game.
Yeah, seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? All right, we'll come back. Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans for ESPN.com. We'll talk to TD next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, Auburn fans, I'm going to give you a little hint. There's a video coming out at 102.5 The Game here very soon. By the way, nice win by the
Tigers. Impressive.
Right?
Huge,
down at
unbelievable
Station.
Atmosphere.
Yes.
They had that place rocking.
That was a
and
fun
Auburn
game.
Just went in there and took the crowd right out of it. That defense. Ooh.
Auburn might be a little better than we thought they were going to be.
The SEC West.
Yeah,
holy
it is
cow.
Loaded. Loaded. We're going to have a chance for you to retweet that video. That's all you have to do, literally. Just retweet it. At 102.5 The Game, retweet that video that's about to come out here soon. Gina from our promotion staff is going to put out a video that we just did during the break, and we have tickets in hand for you to go down there and see Auburn and Mississippi State this weekend. So be looking for that. It's time to talk with TD. Teron Davenport is on the line with us. When he's not on television, he slums it with us radio folks. Teron, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
You sound a little sluggish this morning. What's going on with you?
No, nothing much. I'm good.
Okay.
I am good.
I mean, you got some extra
Monday
days. You got the, you know, extra days, the 10-day in between games. I thought, you know, okay, TD's going to be full of energy today. He's going to bring it on this Monday. But you know what?
We're just getting started, man. I'm going to tell you this. It's impossible to overwork me. So, you know, let's do it.
Hey, if it's Freaky Friday, Wacky Wednesday, what's Monday?
Yeah, what is Monday?
Maniacal Monday.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we haven't had a chance to talk to you. They're going to be back at it this week. And, of course, the Falcons are up next on the road. The Falcons lost in Indy yesterday to the Colts.
Yeah.
What, you know, it's back to the drawing board. They're 1-2 now. I mean, by the way, Colts and Texans win. So Jags win, beat the Titans, and the other, you know, the whole division won, but the Titans this week. So what are your thoughts? Let's talk about what are your thoughts to this point, and what are your thoughts going into this game against the Falcons?
Yeah, well, to this point, obviously there are things they have to do on offense to get back on track. They looked good that first week, but now, okay, what are you going to do to build off of that? And they haven't really done anything the last couple games. 7 points against the Jaguars, that was totally unacceptable. So offensively, they have to get back to what they did against Cleveland, right? And they have to find someone who's going to be the mismatch, someone who's going to be the go-to guy for the game and go to them. Whereas the last couple of weeks, they haven't really been able to do that, and they struggled on offense. So that's something to take note of. But on the positive side, I will say they got better as far as converting on third downs last week, but it obviously didn't lead to points. So take that for what it's worth. Defensively, I mean, listen, they just – the big plays, right? Malcolm Butler gave up a couple, you know, catches to DJ Chark. You can't have that. The turnovers on punt return team, that's unacceptable too. So I think really it remains the defense is the strong point of this team, but they just have to be more complimentary of that defense on special teams and on offense.
Jerron, we took phone calls. I know you were making your way back from Jacksonville. We basically took phone calls for 4 hours on Friday, kind of reacting to the dud Thursday night where you were.
Yeah.
And usually a lot of the blame, you know, goes to the players, especially the quarterback position. I get all that. The offensive line certainly took their fair share of heat. So let's start there, and then I'm going to work my way quickly before I turn it over to these guys, to the coach. But let's start with the offensive line. I think one thing that people need to understand, at least this is my opinion, and I want to get yours. For everybody who just thinks that, you know, magically, poof, after this Falcons game, when Taylor Lewan is back in there, that all of a sudden they're just going to vault to the best offensive line in the league. I get it. He's their most valuable player on the offensive line. He means a lot. But it's just not going to go poof in week five. All the problems are solved. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, because Taylor Lewan can't play right guard and right tackle as well, in addition to left tackle. So, to be honest with you, Dennis Kelly hasn't really been the issue. The issue has primarily been on that right side with Jameel Douglas and Jack Conklin. Because let me tell you this, Josh Allen had his way with Jack Conklin. And a rookie doing that against a former Pro Bowl or former All-Pro, you can't have that. And I think that really was the issue. And obviously, Calais Campbell had his way against whoever had Titans colors on, because he dominated that game.
All right, the other part is the coach in year two. We talked about it a lot on Friday, but, I mean, everybody thinks Mike Vrabel's the guy, and I get that. But yet again, here we sit, and there was some coaching blunders on Thursday. Things that, you know, we don't agree with the 4th and 6 call. You got to take the points, man. It's 4th and 6 at the 11. You're at a short field. The odds are stacked way against you on that play. In an offense that was completely inept, couldn't do anything, as we see,
right,
and could protect the quarterback. And what happened? He gets sacked. And, you know, not challenging a play when it's there for you to do that. I mean, it was worth a shot. What do you make of Mike Vrabel? I mean, I think, you know, you could say the last 2 weeks he's been outcoached.
Those two situations that you mentioned are the two major issues I have from this past week. But in addition to that, in talking to Coach, leading into training camp, one of the things that he told me was, because I asked him what the biggest thing he wanted to improve upon going into year two was, and he said being more consistent. And unfortunately, over the last 2 weeks, what has been consistent is being outplayed, going out there flat, and that's just not something that you really expect from a Mike Vrabel coach team, albeit it's a small sample size. So for me, those are the things that he has to get better at. Right now, what's consistent is this team not playing, you know, with heart in the beginning of games. And even though that defense didn't give up a touchdown on the first drive to the offense, they still fumbled the ball. And what happened? The very next play, it was a touchdown. So either way you split it, they're not starting games out on fire like you would expect the team coached by Mike Vrabel to do. So I think that's my main issue with coach right now.
Teron, what are your thoughts on the plan for right guard? Because I'm hearing a lot about Nate Davis, but I still wonder if he can be the answer at this stage of the season, or because you got to get through one more game before this is an option. But do you see Dennis Kelly being eventually the right guard once Lewan gets back?
That could definitely be a possibility, because my thing is you can't get much worse than what's out there right now. So
right, you
Kelly,
cannot
the right
line
guard,
up again the way that they lined up. They got to try something else.
Yeah, you're going to have to try something else. And fortunately for them, they had the long week, so now you had time to kind of get Nate Davis up to speed, and he could possibly be that right guard. But either way, it's a lot to introduce a rookie to the league going against somebody like Grady Jarrett, who is a grown man at defensive tackle. So I wouldn't expect things, you know, just merely by switching players, I wouldn't expect things to just automatically work. Dennis Kelly, it always intrigues me having him at right guard, because you don't traditionally see guards that tall. So
right.
I'm just curious how that will work. I don't think it would not work because, again, you can't get much worse than what's going on now. And at least Dennis Kelly, he may not be the best guard, but he won't get dominated like what you saw from Clarence Campbell against Jamil Douglas on Thursday.
I got a chance to watch the Colts and the Falcons quite a bit yesterday. And I saw a Falcons team that we know what they do have, right? They've got a lot of weapons. They've got Julio Jones, but they're struggling some. And I was surprised to see an early line. The Falcons are favored by 5.5 over the Titans. So this is a very intriguing matchup coming up on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Colts just do what they do, right? They well coached, executed well, and they had to hang on at the end there, but they had control of that game for most of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts are a force to be reckoned with, and I don't think there's any conversation to be had about that. They are a physical football team. They run the ball really well. They have guys in T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal. They have guys that could really make plays. So even Eric Ebron. So you can't take anything away from the Colts. They dominated that game for the most part, you know, especially in the first half. So I think when you see this Falcons team, it's Julio Jones, man, and you just have to find a way to not stop him because you're not going to. You have to find a way to contain him and keep him from doing what he did against the Eagles and just having a big play and changing the whole tide of the game.
More with Teron Davenport on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Talking with TD here on Darren Donick and Chase. Teron Davenport joining us from ESPN. Covers the Titans. So we've got the Atlanta Falcons coming up on Sunday afternoon. So after sitting back, Teron, after watching the entire league play last night, I'm curious what would have been going through the mind of Mike Vrabel as he sort of tries to sort out where to go from here. There always are some games that puzzle you. Like, you can look, this is what dawns on me. You can look really bad for a week or two and then come back and play a very strong game. So I still think there's a lot better football in this Titans team. I think Mike Vrabel believes that. I think the team knows that. It's just a matter of, but this is, you're starting to really put the pressure on here. This is an important game coming up on Sunday. If you can get it, you're 2-2, after playing three of the first four on the road, and you feel all right about things. You don't feel awful, even though you left some stuff on the table, but you lose your 1-3, and you do feel like you're behind the eight ball here. This is a big swing game.
Yeah, it's a big swing game, and the thing that you have to look at is there were positives that came out of the game, right? So you look at Adam Humphries. Everyone had been clamoring for Humphries to get involved. We almost had 100 yards receiving. You look at some of the throws that Mariota made. Everybody from the Colts week to the Jaguars week, what did they say? He, and me included, he needs to stare down the pressure and deliver the ball even with a defender bearing down. Well, guess what he did on multiple occasions to the Delanie Walker? He made nice throws that converted on third down. So there's positives going into the game, but it's definitely something that, look, if they don't come out right against the Falcons team that's going to be looking for a win too, because they need to keep from going 1-3. So if they don't come out right against that team, things would get real ugly and it could spiral down, because I know Julio Jones, Matt Ryan and that offense, they could get going and man, I tell you, they could put some points up. So they have to come out on fire, and that's why I keep focusing on the starts that they had the last 3 weeks. Now it's time to really kick it in gear right from the start. And that's what I'm looking for this Titans team to do. Just see how they open up against the Falcons, because that's going to tell you an awful lot about where they are. Because this extended time they had off, you have plenty of time to look in the mirror. So there are a lot of guys on this team that have to say, you know what, I'm either going to get right or I'm going to have to get out. And I think of Dory Jackson, it starts with him. I think it goes all the way through Jamil Douglas, Jack Conklin. I mean, even Roger Saffold, who hasn't played badly, but he's played under the contract that and the expectations that came in. And I think it really ultimately goes to Marcus Mariota. He has to take that look and say, okay, I need to play better. I'm the franchise quarterback. I need to play better and show this team that I can put them on my back and take them to where we need to go.
TD, you're like a quarterback, and I'm like your receiver. You're leading me right where I wanted to go, and that was Roger Saffold. Darren brought up earlier about Taylor Lewan, that the offensive line isn't going to magically just get better and become the best in the league when he comes back. But do you think Taylor Lewan's presence will help Roger Saffold because he's had a strong left tackle in the past?
I think it'll help, but even that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. One of the sacks that the Jaguars had were on stunts where that exchange didn't work properly, and that's a communication thing, that's a field thing. And granted, they call themselves the Step Brothers, right, Lewan and Roger Saffold, but the fact of the matter is they haven't had a lot of snaps together, and that communication is key when you're going against, you know, teams that like to do that. So this, you know, week five, you know, when Lewan comes back, they're going to have their hands full because, you know, the Bills' defense is very stout up front. So I don't expect things to just automatically get better for Saffold or that offensive line overall.
Offensively, they pretty much have the pieces that they have. I don't think you're going to see changes. I don't think they make a quarterback change yet, even though at halftime of the Jacksonville game might have been the time to do it just to spark something. No. But how would you evaluate Arthur Smith as a play caller so far?
Yeah, it's tough because there are some calls that he made. You know, the consistent running on first down is something that has carried over from last year to this year. I think it's tough because things aren't working, but I don't know that that's wholly on the offensive coordinator. How would I evaluate him? I would say average at this point. I'm not going to say below average because obviously scoring 7 points against a division rival is not acceptable. So I'm going to say average, but I think right now what he has to do is scheme up more ways to get this ball out of Mariota's hands quickly and into the hands of the playmakers. And this is sounding like a broken record because it's what we've been saying since training camp, but it's what has to happen because the bottom line, this offensive line and the quarterback, that combination is not doing well against pressure. So they have to quick catch and throw, and that's what Arthur Smith has to focus on doing better. And then he also has to focus on running the football more effectively as far as when to dial up the plays. And that screen is something that he leans on as well. So I think he's been average. That's a long way of me saying he's been average.
I heard John Fox, former head coach now with ESPN, on with Morning Drive today. And he said that, you know, it's like a football game. You can't win or lose the season in the first quarter. So there's a long way to go. But they're 1-2 right now. And we've talked about the head coach. We've talked about the quarterback. We've talked about the offensive coordinator. How much of this, or when do we start looking at the GM? When do we start looking at John Robinson? Because ultimately, he's the one that has put all this together. And right now, they sit at 1-2, and we just don't see big strides from last year.
Well, I mean, is it John Robinson's fault that Nate Davis got hurt?
No.
Is it his fault that Taylor Lewan had the positive and that's my thing. I get it. You want to look at the GM, but coming into this year, everyone, me included, said that they had one of the most balanced rosters in the division. So is it really on the GM or is it on the product that's out on the field not living up to what the GM has assembled? I think it's a combination of both. I strongly feel that John Robinson should have looked at in that fifth round. I feel, and DeAndre Walker's a guy, you know I've been high on him, but I
Me
feel
too.
That Ben Powers is someone that should have gotten strong consideration for being picked there, or even just figure out a way to trade back into the fifth round to get him. I felt he was one of the best guards. Now, he's in the rotation in Baltimore. He's not starting, but still, you know, they have Marshall Yonder, and I forget who their starter is at right guard, but the fact of the matter is he's the guy that I felt could have come in and helped this team. I will say they kind of put too many eggs in the Kevin Palmfield basket, and I think that's kind of come back to bite them. But again, Nate Davis, he's someone that they really felt was going to come in and compete and possibly win the job.
Teron, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. I know you've got some work to do. The players are going to be available in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll talk
yes,
to you
sir.
Down the road.
All right, talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Thanks, all right, Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans, ESPN.com, and also talking with TD and Chase Friday nights 6 to 8.
On Thursday right this week because of Preds. So,
oh, that's right. There's
and Calvin is going to fill in for me.
Final preseason tune-up is Friday night out in Raleigh, North Carolina, against the Hurricanes. So Thursday night from 6 to 8?
Yeah, it'll be Calvin and TD this week.
Calvin and TD. That's right. You're going to the beach.
I'm taking a few days off before we get into this hockey thing.
Remember, the water, that's for the Sharks. That's the Sharks' house.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll stay on the beach. Don't worry.
Keep a safe distance.
I'm dipping my toes in there, but...
Don't worry. Don't worry. Come on.
We'll come back.
Enjoy the water.
Hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.